Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go, live in Los Angeles, hour two. It's called The Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1. So Tom Brady's at the White House today. It really is. I'm the Tom Brady-est talk show host of all time. I'm Mr. Tom Brady, right? I'd have to be a wild card team. The idea there at the White House, celebrating. It's just one of the reasons, of the many reasons I love sports. It's been a weird baseball season. Even the good teams like the Mets, inning to inning, you don't know what the hell you're getting. Everything is scripted, right? Television, for most of our lives, everything was scripted.
Even reality TV is scripted.
Yeah, reality television is scripted. And then you have sports. And it shows when you don't script stuff in life, it is families and sports. It goes sideways fast. I mean, it's incredible. I was thinking about this, Joy. So Tom Brady's at the White House. We never consider neck up. Like, right, we look at athletes and go, oh, he's big, he's strong. So much of this world in sports is neck up. People forget, don't have amnesia on this. Through 12 weeks last year, Tampa Bay was 7-5. Okay? They had melted down on television against the Bears in week 5, and they were crushed by the Saints in week 9. So now we're in the back half, and they're a mess. They're getting destroyed. Bruce Arians and Tom Brady, week 9, week 10, week 11, had a different ideology. Like they just were not clicking. Heading into their bye, Tampa Bay had lost 3 straight home games. Not 3 straight games, 3 straight home games. And they were let's be reasonable. They had beaten Green Bay. That was their big W. And had lost every other playoff team. Right? Like, they were inconsistent, good and bad, hot and cold, a little bit of an ideological mess. Tom wanted more short passing game, more efficiency. Arians is more over-the-top stuff. And this is what I've always said. The difference between Aaron Rodgers, most of us acknowledge Aaron throws a better football. Aaron's a more nimble athlete. It's the neck up stuff. Look at all the crap Brady went through last year. Okay, no OTAs, no camp, new system, new coaches, tougher division, melting down on national TV, screaming at teammates. And it's the old Andy Dufresne. He just went through that tunnel and came out the other side. And that's where Aaron Rodgers has melted down because a year ago, the Packers drafted a quarterback. Like, Brady didn't love Garoppolo being drafted, but he didn't melt down. And I think this is really the difference. Like, a lot of people say Russell Wilson can be corny. He's so optimistic. But I was told something years ago by a very successful guy. He said, there's no cynical billionaires. You got to be optimistic because in business, every day there's another problem. And you either believe there's a solution or you're cynical and the glass is half full. You have to be half empty. You have to be a glass half full guy to get rich. Business is hard. You're competing. You know, Tom's competing against a handful of teams. You're competing against the world in business. Now it's a globalization. You're competing against the globe in your business. You have to be positive. You can't be cynical. And I always said there's that one Aaron Rodgers stat that is so bizarre that he has fewer fourth quarter comebacks than Andy Dalton, Matt Ryan, Derek Carr. Now you could say, well, that's because he doesn't trail much. He's got fewer than Russell Wilson. You know, he's got fewer than other quarterbacks who have been on good teams. And he's got fewer than average quarterbacks on bad teams. And I think a lot of it's psychology. Aaron tends to be a little bit of a bailer. Like, if things are good, if things are under control, Aaron's the best. But the NFL's hard. And last year is a prime example. Aaron Rodgers did not win a Super Bowl last year in Tampa. No camp, different ideology, struggling with coaches, humiliated on television. I mean, even in the playoffs, they struggled against Washington. Even at Lambeau, could have lost that game. It's just the determination, the vision, the focus. Brady is the Brady and Russell Wilson are defined by fourth quarter comebacks. Aaron Rodgers, craziest stat, he's got very few of them despite his talent. And I think last year is the prime example. Tampa had no business winning the Super Bowl. They were not as good as New Orleans. They played them three times. New Orleans was easily better in two. And the other game was a go-either-way game. So I just the fact that he's on the White House today is just like, it really is, of all the championships, to win last, they were 7-5 in week 12. Going into the bye, they'd lost three straight home games. It was never easy. It was never easy. And that's just so Brady, head down, elevating the troops, never quitting, never bailing, get in the foxhole with me. And I think that defines Tom more than size and arm and Belichick and system. Rick Bucher is now joining us live. NBA Finals resume tonight. All right, you know, it was interesting. I said this earlier, Rick, is that when the Spurs dynasty really started, if you go back to the Spurs dynasty, is that part of its success was Kobe and Shaq breakup. Oh, there we go. I got Rick again. Can I see Rick again? Do we have him? There we go. So go back to the Spurs dynasty. They got a big break. Kobe and Shaq break up. Opens the door for them. Giannis and the Bucks, LeBron and Kawhi leave the East. If you go look at Giannis and Duncan, one's coached by Popovich, one by a Pop disciple. They're both great on both ends, coachable, humble, grateful, don't need the shot at the end of the game. There are some similarities here, Rick, that if the Bucks win tonight, that East could very well be theirs for a half decade, no?
Of Giannis, because it's a small market, there are a lot of comparisons. I will give you that without question. And the East being wide open for them and having proved that they are champions is going to be a great advantage, understanding what ultimately it takes to get there. So, yeah, you can make that case. It's still a matter of, in today's NBA, can you keep all the pieces together, and how long can you keep those pieces together where everybody is happy? I mean, at this point, the question is Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday and the egos involved, because we've already got Chris Middleton being stumped by some as the finals MVP. Is he good with being the closer and not getting as much of the reward as Giannis ultimately will because of what he does? Those are some of the dynamics that San Antonio was able to hold everything together as a result. Is Milwaukee capable of doing the same thing? To me, that's really going to determine whether they can be dynastic or not.
So a couple of weeks ago, the arguments were you have to give Chris Paul a 3-year contract. You should consider 4. And this morning, that would look like a really poor decision. Where are you on Chris Paul today?
But he's 36 years old, and I've always felt there's trepidation in signing him beyond.
All right, we're having some technical issues with Rick Bucher. We'll try to get him after the break. There's what we'll do. We'll get him after the break. Talk about the NBA Finals tonight.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is interesting how quickly narratives change in sports. So Belichick was considered for at least the last 10 years. I mean, the first dynasty, maybe not so much, but the last 10 years, there's very few things in sports none of us argue about, right? Like Wayne Gretzky was the best hockey player. Nobody really argues about that. Or you get into an Olympic sport where Usain Bolt's the world's fastest man. But most of the stuff we argue about, Belichick's the best coach, was not argued for the last decade. We didn't even guys that are going to make the Hall of Fame, you know, your Pete Carrolls and your Mike Tomlins, like we had seen him toe-to-toe, and we thought he was a notch better. And then literally, by November last year, we're like, well, he's Belichick, you know, he's kind of being exposed. He can't draft. It's amazing how quickly, like, narratives change. And it's the Chris Paul. A week ago, you know, a month ago, the argument was you have to give him 4 years. And then Joy and I started saying probably closer to three. This morning, you look at it and think, okay, two, but the second year should be a team option. Like Drew Holiday has just shut him down. Now, Drew's a bigger, stronger player. Drew's 3 inches taller, 30 pounds heavier, and Milwaukee's just a big physical team. I mean, this is not just all on Chris Paul. DeAndre Ayton, bless his heart, is just outmanned. Milwaukee's just got an army of guys who are 11-year veterans, or Brooke Lopez and Giannis and Bobby Portis and P.J. Tucker. They're the classic. You know, they're a little like the Lakers last year or the Raptors the year before. They're not a great three-point shooting team. I mean, Milwaukee's got one elite shooter, Middleton, and he's hot and cold. But they're leaning on everybody, and Chris Paul is 36 years old. It doesn't matter. Find an old quarterback. They don't want to get pushed around, right? Brady wants to get the offensive line fixed. There's a reason Tampa Bay's first draft pick was a right tackle. Like, give Tom time to throw. Nothing ages a quarterback like a lousy offensive line, and nothing ages a point guard, a Mike Conley or a Chris Paul, faster than a physical point guard that's in your face and are bigger and stronger. And so, Chris this morning is, you know, 2 years, second year, Suns get. I'd love to bring him back. But, you know, and again, there's not a lot of Drew Holidays in the league that are that big, that strong, and that physical. And I think Chris has value. But I'd make it a two-year deal. And, you know, there's the old saying, strike when the iron is hot. The reason people say strike when the iron is hot, because it gets cold very fast. You can be the rock star of your industry, and an hour later, say something on social media, and it's all over. Joy with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, bad news for the Rams. They confirmed that running back Cam Akers suffered a torn Achilles. The injury reportedly occurred yesterday while he was training, so now the Rams' leading rusher from last year will miss the entire 2021 season.
Not great. He's like a real... And remember, they lost Malcolm Brown, their power running back, who's maybe a 6-7 carry a game guy, but now they don't have their center, their top two running backs, their starting safety, their third corner, their defensive coordinator, their second tight end. Like, this is a thing, Joy. This is not. And again, it'd be one thing if you're in the NFC East.
Yeah.
You're in the NFC West. So this morning, I had Seattle and the Rams going 11-6. And this morning, I feel like the Seahawks would beat the Rams twice and go 12-5, and they'd go 10-7. I don't think it's outrageous to say that Cam Akers is worth a game in that division.
He absolutely is. They have Daryl Henderson and Jake Funk, who is a seventh round draft pick. Those are their running backs now.
Henderson's a very small, he's not a... He's
Cam
not
Akers a, was a dynamic runner.
Home run hitter.
Yes. He had 145 carries, 625 yards, and two touchdowns last season, but he was a difference maker. He was visibly a problem.
Yeah, he's not a great fantasy football back because he didn't get into the end zone. But in terms of this offense, we all know that McVay's offense got to a Super Bowl when Gurley was healthy. When he didn't, Goff was still there. The O-line was still there. Cooper Kupp was still there. The tight ends were still there. What happened is that this offense was predicated on a dynamic running game, and now they not only don't have a number one, they have no depth at running back.
It's a massive loss for them. They're going to have to do something between now and when the season starts to acquire some depth at that position. But, you know, you were saying that, obviously you weren't talking about the running backs, but you were saying the Rams felt a little light. Like, they've made a lot of moves this offseason. as most teams do. But when you lose your starting running back before training camp starts, that's concerning.
Yeah, I mean, the Chiefs lost their left tackle, you know, 2 weeks before the Buccaneers, and they really couldn't compete in the Super Bowl. Like, I know a tackle isn't worth a point a game, but when you're trying to keep the ball away from Russell Wilson and Kyler Murray, you're playing keep away in those games. That's what you're doing.
You have to have a running game.
Yeah, I mean, go. Big Ben didn't have a running game last year. He's throwing 50 times. You don't want Matt Stafford. Yeah, I've said this before. What makes it work for Mahomes is that he's not only a big play quarterback, with having the best tight end in football, it's an efficient passing game. He doesn't have to do 7-step drops. There's a lot of stuff the Chiefs do to get, also, they get into leads. They have
the ability to keep defenses honest.
Yes.
And when you don't have a running game, they know what you're up to because they know you can't rely on that. So Jameis Winston and Taysom Hill are battling to be the Saints' starting quarterback now that Drew Brees is retired. But Brees is actually expecting both of them to get playing time this season. He said, whatever happens in terms of whoever is the starter, I do think there is a scenario where both of them are playing. If Jameis is the starter, I think Taysom is seeing a lot of action at quarterback, maybe even more so than he did with me. So Drew is predicting a little bit more of a hybrid situation, it seems, at quarterback. I don't love this quarterback situation for the Saints. I do think that Jameis should be the starter. We've seen him as a starter. I think that Jameis has made some significant changes, not only to his body, but he also had eye surgery. I just don't see Taysom as an every down quarterback.
Let me defend Jameis on this. And I was never a huge Jameis Winston fan, but I do think his body shape, he does look different. If you look at him now, even in some of these videos, I think he took it more seriously. And by the way, he had other options. He went to New Orleans, as Jameis said, it's quarterback school.
Yeah.
Let's be fair with Jameis. There may have been no coach in the NFL that was more dangerous for him to be with than Bruce Arians, because Bruce is a sling it downfield type. So when you look at Jameis's interception, that doesn't mean Bruce Arians is a bad coach. But Bruce is very old school. We're going to throw it over the top. Jameis, now as a coach, who's much more about Drew Brees' last 3 years, efficiency, underneath routes. I mean, even Michael Thomas, their star, is more possession than deep threat. He's more possession than Stephon Diggs deep. So when you look at Jameis' turnovers, there is this feeling, it's like, oh, this is not. Quarterbacks are often different with different offenses or different coaches. And I think Jameis is going to be less turnover prone with Sean Payton's offense. And this is a much better offensive line than he had his last 3 years cumulatively in Tampa.
I think he's changed his body. I think this is a better situation for him. I agree. And also, when you have Taysom there, you might have a little more pressure to stay tight the whole time, because there is somebody right there who can take your job at any moment and step in if things aren't going well. And that wasn't really the case before. So I don't like the idea that they haven't decided on who the starter is. I believe you need to say who the guy is moving forward when you get into training camp. Like, having a quarterback battle is never my favorite thing. So the Bucks are one win away from the NBA title, and they'll have a chance to clinch it on their home court tonight. But Giannis is working hard not to let his emotions get the best of him ahead of the big game.
And it's hard not to get ahead of yourself. But this is the time that you got to be the most disciplined, you know. And that's what I'm going to try to be. I'm going to try to be as disciplined as possible. Don't get too excited. Don't get too pumped up for the game. None of that. You got to be disciplined. We can worry about that. We cannot have any plans about none of celebrating. None of that until it's done, you know. And that's the mindset I'm going to have until tomorrow.
Very grounded. It's very Tim Duncan. He's very grounded.
He's doing himself a lot of favors with these press conferences because he's saying all the right things. He's so, so likable.
You know, it's funny, Joy. I know a lot of people in sports look at these press conferences as a burden. He's a great example of, I'm going to take these, which are a little bit of a headache.
Yeah.
And I'm going to turn them into a huge positive. He has been so good at the mic. And it's the classic, you know. It was funny. So on a different thing, my kids and I went on a little vacation in the mountains a couple weeks ago, and it was a disaster on Sunday. The flight got canceled. It was, without getting into details, it was a disaster. And I looked at all my kids and they looked at me and were like, let's just make this an adventure. Like, we can complain about this and have this great 3 days be miserable because the last 12 hours. I said, let's go have a great dinner. Let's go find a goofy cowboy steakhouse and let's make Wyoming. We're just going to have fun for the next 18 hours. And it's like, that's what Giannis is doing. These press conferences are tedious. He's just like, I'm going to make the most of what this tedious assignment is.
A lot of things in life are just the attitude that you have towards them. Some things are just a part of your job. Fans think it's stupid, but still watch all of the press conferences. So this is just a part of this is part of what you have to do. And listen, sometimes media, it's not the most fun for us either. Like, we know that you're annoyed answering the same question, but we have to ask that question because it's our job to try and get the answer to the question. It's what everyone wants to know. So yes, the attitude that you have towards situations can really help. And I think he's saying the right things. Like, this is what I think he really believes. It's been a great finals, and either way, however it ends, I'm hoping for a game 7, but whoever wins, it will be a great story and a great thing for the NBA and fans, because it has been a different year. It's been a difficult 2 years for the NBA. And you're getting two smaller markets, teams that built through the draft, and Giannis is just one of the most likable stars that we have in sports. He's averaging 32 points these finals as well, so he will be the finals MVP, and Fox Bet has the Bucks favored by 5 tonight.
Yeah, that feels like the number to me. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Rick Bucher, Fox Sports NBA analyst, now joins us live. And let's talk about this, Rick. Let's talk about Chris Paul. Because it feels like tonight he has to play well for them to win. He has to play well. Booker's been playing well. DeAndre Ayton's been fine. Mikal Bridges has been Mikal Bridges. The bench has been the bench. But Chris is not the same player. Take me back to where you were on Chris Paul a month ago and where you are today currently as he struggles.
It really hasn't changed, Colin, because I feel as if, not just a month ago, but if I look at this Phoenix Suns team, a Phoenix Suns team that had not been in the playoffs, never even made the playoffs for a decade. No matter what Devin Booker did, no matter what DeAndre Ayton did, no matter what they tried to do, they weren't a playoff team. And he's not only gotten them into the playoffs, he's taken them all the way to the finals. And it was he who got them there. Now, it took a very special set of circumstances. Getting into COVID protocol probably ended up being a bonus because it allowed him to have a couple weeks off, and the Suns survived. And then he needs a couple games to restart the engines because he is 36 years old. And then he finds his groove for a game 7 to close out the Clippers, and then ultimately a game 1 against the Bucks. But I'll go back to the fact that he's 36 years old. And it reminds me a lot of watching John Stockton, 98 finals against the Bulls. If you go back and look at it, had a terrific first game against the Bulls. And then they just slowly but surely wore him down. He was also 36 years old. He was also an undersized point guard. He was a guy that they exploited defensively, much like the Bucks are doing with Chris Paul right now. So I look at him as one of those guys, one of the true leaders in the league, capable of taking a very young Phoenix Suns team that had virtually no experience in the postseason and getting them all the way to the finals. And the fact that he's falling short now, because he's up against a physical, athletic, younger Milwaukee Bucks team, I'm not going to use that to downgrade what Chris Paul accomplished this year. To your point about moving forward, it's tricky. You certainly feel better about paying him money for money that he's not going to be able to earn if it meant that he won you a championship. But if you take Chris Paul out of this equation, then the Phoenix Suns are not, I mean, even with Chris Paul, they're most likely a one-and-done team getting to the finals. But if you take Chris Paul away, there's no replacement for that.
Yeah.
And so if you're happy with them being a playoff team now, they should be in the playoffs the next couple of years with Chris Paul. But are they going to contend for a title? I wouldn't expect that.
You know, it is. We were talking about this yesterday, is that Nick Wright said free throw shooting's overrated, and we kind of laugh that, you know, LeBron struggles with it, Shaq struggled with it, Duncan struggles with it, Giannis is. A lot of dynasties and a lot of potential championships with it. But I think what's even more interesting, in a world of analytics in basketball, the seven teams that shot the most threes won playoff series win combined. And the last three championship teams, Raptors, Lakers, and Bucks potentially, are not three-ball teams. They're old, they're big, they're physical. It's Serge Ibaka. It's Dwight Howard. It's JaVale McGee. It's Brooke Lopez. I'm not anti-analytics, but boy, the mid-range and ugly, strong basketball has had a damn good three-year run, Rick, has it not?
You're not going to replace size. Size still matters. Being able to operate in the half court, being able to protect the rim, those elements still matter. And with the free throw shooting, you have to be able to get to the line.
That's right.
And if you look at the Phoenix Suns and the Bucks, I believe Phoenix has only made like three more free throws than the Milwaukee Bucks, because the Bucks just take way more of them. And whatever the lack of efficiency they have when it comes to at the free throw line or shooting overall, the other part is rebounding and offensive rebounding. When you're limiting the opposition to one shot a trip,
yep,
and you are getting multiple opportunities, yep, that sways. That has to be part of the analytics. And the size factor for the Bucks has just been a huge difference maker in this series. And the fact that Devin Booker, the big hole in his scoring game is he does not get to the free throw line.
Yep.
That's the downside of the mid-range, in that you're generally not going to draw a lot of fouls. So you have to be attacking the rim to make that happen.
Yeah.
And you also have to have the guile of a Chris Paul. Devin Booker simply doesn't have that right now. So he's taking 33 shots in a game and he's only taking 5 free throws.
Yeah.
That's a recipe for trouble.
Yeah. And you know, we said this also is, and I don't think this is a small thing, Rick, is that one of the things we all know, and this goes against analytics, is that we know that the playoffs, the further they go, the refs swallow whistles. That's what they do. They always have. This is why men beat the kids in the playoffs. Big, strong, 12, 13-year veterans. In the last 3 years, the Raptors got very physical with Golden State, and the Lakers got super physical with Miami, and the Bucks got super physical. And I didn't really think about this going into the series, but I look at it now and I think I should have seen this, is that the way to combat the three and the finesse game and the perimeter game is you won't beat it in the regular season. But if I get to play you 7 times, we've seen it 3 years in a row, I don't have to hit threes because I'm just going to wear you down. And it almost feels like is it right to say there's a hole in analytics in basketball, and it's the way the game is officiated in the last 6 weeks of the sport?
Yeah, look, there's a tricky element to this because I do believe that the three-point shooting was a factor early on in the playoffs. In the first couple of rounds, you could go and look at who was shooting the three best. I think it had a factor there. But as we move forward and the pressure heightens and you get closer to winning that ring, teams are going to play more conservatively. And to your point, you're going to be allowed to play a little more physical, and the pace, for the most part, is going to slow down just because you're getting into 110, 115 games in a season,
yeah,
which is a level that these teams have never been to before. They've
right.
never had to play this many games, and the games get harder, and you get this pattern now where you know you're not going to get suddenly a 4-day break. It's going to be 2 days maximum, and you're playing the next game, and you're playing against a team that knows everything that you want to do. So everything is a grind. And then it just comes back to that mental toughness, that physical toughness, and that ability to score closer to the basket. It's a lot harder to take those threes and know that it's going to be a long rebound going the other way, and that potentially goes from a three to a fast break dunk, and the crowd being back in the building and the energy that provides if you're on your home floor, it suddenly makes teams conscious of, I don't know if I want to take this three. And I haven't looked at the analytics, but I would dare say we've seen more corner threes being taken than from the arc, because those corner threes are less likely to result in a fast break going the other direction. And that's part of the consideration here. So it's the other part too is just the matchups for Milwaukee defensively.
Yeah.
Chris Middleton, Drew Holiday, Giannis Antetokounmpo, that takes you a long way toward making every three-point shot difficult for the Phoenix Suns.
Finally, so I did not see Space Jam with Michael, and I don't plan on watching this one. It's a kid movie. I don't think my opinion would matter. I've sat with my son and watched enough movies, how he views stuff, and you know, I'll say stuff is insipid and dumb, and my son's like, this is hysterical. So I've given up on that. Like, you watch it, you tell me what you think. It is interesting, though. And Joy and I were talking about this yesterday. Now, once again, the Michael LeBron comparisons come out, and Michael's looks better than LeBron's. And during the pandemic, the documentary not only got better ratings than the Lakers playoff series this year, but when it went to Netflix, it's tripling the current NBA viewership. And it's weird. We're talking about Michael 24 years out of his prime. And it, I don't know if it's dinged LeBron's legacy, but I don't see us talking about LeBron a quarter of a century from now. I mean, it just feels like Michael just keeps hanging around and poking LeBron in the ribs. His shoes will sell five times more than LeBron's next year. Still, right?
Yeah, yeah. No, the greatest mistake that LeBron ever made, and I understand why he did it. I understand why he invited the comparisons to Michael Jordan, because who wouldn't? You want it, you come into the league, that was the standard. But LeBron James is not Michael Jordan. He was never going to be Michael Jordan. If he had done, which you see Devin Booker doing it now, don't compare me to Kobe. Like, don't do that. Don't take me there. We've had other guys who said, don't like make those comparisons. If LeBron from the very beginning had rejected that and said, I'm not Michael Jordan, I'm never going to be Michael Jordan, I'm going to be my own guy, I'm going to be LeBron James, I'm a different kind of player, I'm a different kind of superstar, I dare say we might have appreciated him more for who he is.
Yeah.
But he invited it, and he's contributed to it.
Yeah.
Don't do Space Jam 2. It, like, you're inviting disaster here. In the looking back, everything always looks better in the rearview mirror.
Right.
And LeBron invited those comparisons every step of the way, and he suffered for it. He was never going to win those comparisons. So, you know, of all the brilliant things that he might have done business-wise, the big caveat is the fact that he decided to put himself on this comparison plane with Michael Jordan, a game that he was never, ever going to win.
Good stuff, Rick Bucher, Fox Sports. Good seeing you, bud. Game 6 tonight in Milwaukee. Thanks for stopping by.
You got it, Colin.
Yeah, I mean, there. When you get to the all-time great, there is no other Brady. It Mahomes is not Brady, because the reality is he's going to make so much more money early, he won't want to play for 20 years. He'll have, you know what I mean? Like, there's no Ali is a one. Tiger, there's no comparison. Like,
well, we also romanticize the past, and I argue this all the time. Like, there'll never be another person as famous as Michael Jackson. There'll never be another Michael Jordan. You used to have to be in front of your television at a certain time. There was no TiVo. There was no Twitter. There was no Instagram. There's no Snapchat. There's no way to reach these people. Michael Jordan, stars like Michael Jackson, they were on such another level of, like, demigod famous, that our attachment to them and what they accomplished has grown into this, like, living, breathing thing.
Every single person
that grows every day.
I can remember playing basketball in college. There were these courts in Cheney, Washington, and they're blaring, bunch of dudes blaring Michael Jackson songs.
Yeah.
And they put a speaker out one of the dorm windows, and we'd play like 4 hours of pickup basketball and drinking and playing and Michael Jackson. Everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody not only liked Michael Jackson, everybody knew who Michael Jackson was. Yes. I like young music. I'm not somebody that, you know, listens to 8-track tapes. My wife likes young music. We both do. If you name the top 30 artists, I haven't heard of 25 of them, maybe 20 of them. And so to your point, like, I say this all the time. When I was a kid, I used to watch a show in the Pacific Northwest. I'm talking like 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years old. It was called J.P. Patches. He was like your local, you know, Bozo the Clown. Like it was a clown cartoon show. They broke into programming. J.P. Patches said, Muhammad Ali just beat George Foreman in Zaire, because there weren't all these cable channels.
Right.
Now we have a hockey channel and a tennis channel and a baseball channel. When I got into this business, I had to talk everything. I don't have to anymore. If you want tennis, go watch the tennis channel. If you want hockey, go watch the hockey channel. I talk NFL, NBA, college football, big fights, occasional big events. You know, Tiger wins a golf tournament.
There's so many more ways to be famous. There's so much more access to famous people.
The market's more fragmented.
Whatever you want. If you're into cooking, you can watch cooking shows and you can watch people cooking on YouTube and TikTok for the rest of the day and never watch anything else. There's so much more access to stuff. There's just not a comparison to the level of famous. Like
you can understand
the level of famous that Michael Jackson and Michael Jordan and Eddie Murphy, like you had to be a superstar in order to be that famous.
The people who were famous 25 years ago were more known and more famous than today.
Yes.
Now they're richer today.
Yes.
Because there's more way to monetize your brand. You can make money on Snapchat, Instagram. Back then, you know, a comedian made it selling out shows. And now there are people making millions on Instagram and selling out shows. Bill Burr can make money a lot more ways than Eddie Murphy could. But the people that were famous 25 years ago, everybody knew them. I mean, it was literally the president was less well known than like Frank Sinatra 30 years ago or 40 years ago.
Yeah, it's just a different world.
Yeah.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jersey Mike's has a new grilled portobello mushroom and Swiss sub. Try it. Fresh ingredients. Make a sub above. Jersey Mike's. Be a sub above. Download their app. Get at-home delivery or pick up at their stores. So Tom Brady, greatest living American, at the White House today. He looks a little like JFK, by the way. If you look at this picture, here's Tom Brady with Joe Biden and the Buccaneers celebrating.
We found our rhythm. We got on a roll. Not a lot of people think that we could have won. And in fact, I think about 40% of the people still don't think we won.
I understand that.
You understand that, Mr. President?
I understand that.
Yeah. And personally, you know, it's nice for me to be back here. We had a game in Chicago where I forgot what down it was. I lost track of one down in 21 years of playing. And they started calling me Sleepy Tom. Why would they do that to me?
It's very funny. Stand-up comedian. It is remarkable. By the way, you know, the Aaron Rodgers story that was out today, Adam Schefter reports that the Packers offered Aaron a 2-year contract extension, would have been 5 years total in Green Bay, and made him the highest paid player. And Aaron said, no, thanks. I'm out. So they're going to move Aaron eventually. The question is when. But I will say this. I've always defended Green Bay on drafting a quarterback. There is a little amnesia with this. So I went and looked this morning. So the minute before Green Bay drafted Jordan Love, because it's easy now to say, oh, look how great he was. In the three previous years to drafting Jordan Love, Aaron Rodgers' numbers, completion percentage went down every year, and passer rating went from 97.2 to a 95.4. Now, he wasn't falling off the cliff, but his completion percentage went 64.7, 62.3 to 62, passer rating 97.2, 97.6, 95.4. And remember, two of those 3 years, He got hurt. Remember the game against Minnesota about 3 years ago? He got first week of the year and he played hurt. And then the following year he missed games. So in their eyes, Green Bay thinks we were very logical. We have an older quarterback. He's been nicked up last 2 years. His numbers are slightly declining. So we're going to draft a quarterback to replace him. And then Green Bay says, and Aaron acted emotionally. We're logical. And then Green Bay is saying this morning, then we came back and added and acted logically again. We offered him a big fat contract to be the highest paid player in the league. And Aaron again acts emotionally and turns it down. So in Green Bay's worldview, they're like, we made a logical decision for an old, nicked up, declining quarterback. We drafted a quarterback. He acted emotionally. And then we offered him the highest paid contract to make him happy. And he turned that down. So they just see Aaron as illogical and emotional. And in their view, they're logical.
They could have shot him a text. Before,
yes.
You know.
That was illogical.
Maybe a DM.
NetSuite.com/Herd. One of a kind financing. Number one financial system. NetSuite.com/Herd.